the side panels. I mean, to the, they put me over, moved me then and put me over where they, you couldn't, you know, it was just a curved over panel and then you'd shoot at a bucket. And I had just come off of sick leave, and I used to work with this guy as a mechanic, he was. And he had made a little supervisor. Mm-hmm. And I, me being short as I was, I'd have to stand up on the table, up on something, to shoot the buck the rivet, because I would never agree to shoot them, because you bent the skin, that's it, and that's your, they sure was going to bend it. And I wasn't going to be in that mess, so I bucked all the time. But I told him I was too weak to claw up on that table and bucking no rivets. And they could give that job to somebody else. And none of the other girls wouldn't come over and do that job. Everything they put me on, they put me on with some man, just a man and me. And he'd make some dents in the thing, and they'd have a time about that.
Did you,
And that's when I filed a grievance in. And they went around asking the girls, they had a steward, and he was selling you down the drain. See, I just can't stand that boy. I don't know where he went to. But I told that little old supervisor, I said, look, you don't never tell me what I better do. Now, I'm just tired of fooling with you by there. You going to get up there and do that work? I said, if you don't get out of my face, I said, I better not get nowhere. I don't do nothing but stay black and die. And then I said, I'll see about you. And oh, Lord, I just got to be a foreman. Please don't go, because I go to labor relations and then tell them what I got to tell them. And if they don't do nothing about it, then I ain't gonna fool it. I go downtown on them. So they come out there and got on him.
So,
and then
the 50s that you did that?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, gee, that was getting on up. I think, when did we come over?
Was that after the time
when you married Prince? Yes, I think I married the Prince. Or we quit one. It must have been in, okay. Seemed like I was getting my divorce in 54. And then that's when, of course, they let me work at Crenshaw, and I'd rather be working there. Oh, I work eight, sometimes I work on Sundays, Saturdays, and all. Just glad to be away from the house.
In
54, I think I was out at Crenshaw. I don't know. You never have to look on that book, you know, to tell where
yeah.
you'd be at different places. I can't hardly remember without looking at it.
Okay, so then, now just before, you'd moved all these different plants, and then you ended up in the main plant before you retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you were there, you told me that you worked in the tool crib?
No, when I come there,
mm-hmm.
I was processing when I left Crenshaw. And the clean room, that's when you're wearing the white robes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come over here, you were just working, period, running the crane. Then you had to go to school for the crane business.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go for a trainer and answer them questions if you could pass them and everything. I got the old book in there. But the crane now wasn't like that crane like they had with killing people downtown, but they was running like a train, big wheels all, you know, big wheels across that end, big ones across on this end. And if they fall on you, well, but you wasn't just right up under it, you had to watch yourself by being up under these baskets and flats and things that you're going to take up on the crane. It run by electric. You got a button that you push for up and down and north and south, east and west and all that. You just can't pay people no attention. You got to keep your mind on what you're doing, because it's like they put the flats now, when they put the wings on, it's just a plain flat, just like this. Mm-hmm. And then they have some things sticking up in between them, and I'd go there and put some plastic to keep them from scratching the skin, because they didn't care, you see. Mm-hmm. They'd lay that on you if you didn't fix that. So I'd fix it, and then I'd start going in that tank, and you got to just really got to watch what you, and you just do sit down in that tank, see. Mm-hmm. Keep them hanging anything. You hang up your tank or losing anything, just. Mm-hmm. And I never did hang it but once since I've been there, but the maintenance could get it out, because it just kind of hung on that other end close to where he could climb up there and get it. But them men would have been running the steel crane all the time. They just hang theirs up all the time. Mm-hmm. And then it'd eat up the material and all, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my trainer told me to don't let nobody tell me if I used to running the crane, don't run the crane till they teach me. So when they showed me about this one, and then they wanted me to run a steel crane and had never showed me nothing about that thing, and I wasn't going to fool with it. Oh, that was a dangerous one. I didn't know that a steel one. All that's out there to see right today.
Mm-hmm.
But they had it tore up. I don't know what they put back in there. One side, but the other side I worked in is steel going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then another girl, she said she was Irish, but I said she was a Mexican girl to me. I don't know what she really was.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, God damn it, don't you leave from here till you show me how to run the crane. She worked like an old boy. She acted just like a boy, you know. So that's what she learned how, and so she couldn't take over nothing. She had to work under me because I had no seniority. And I asked to go back over to the main plant where they had little tanks like I had over at Crenshaw.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still processing and all this stuff, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have your basket hanging on a pole. And that was better to me than running that old big crane, oh, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd tell my folks I wish they could go out there and see sometime when they have family days. Go out there and see what work I did.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't nobody to go with my daughter, and he's always too busy, so none of them never going out there now. They wish they had her. You know, I said, yes, I did. I tell you, every time they'd have family days, I wish you could have seen just what I used to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
Just go through the plant and visit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can always visit through there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you worked on the crane, and then after?
Till 76.
Uh-huh.
Thing from, see, you closed out at the processing over Crenshaw, I think in 71, I think I came over.
Mm-hmm.
After my son passed, right after I come back and stuff like that. It must have been the same 71. So that was in July.
Mm-hmm.
And the last of 71, I think I come over to this, Nash and Douglas Street, that's where the crane is.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked on that until I asked to be transferred over to the main plant. And I worked in them tanks, and then they come back and got me again and carried it back over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm not going to work in this stuff like I've been doing no longer in 76. That was the year I left, and they put me in a tool crib.
How long did you work in the tool crib?
From 76, I think.
Until you retired then?
Mm-hmm, I retired. And then they put me in one by myself, but when they wanted to land, the word got little, and they wanted to land everybody off. Well, I had to go back to the main tube crib, and one man got to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there now.
Mm-hmm.
And this little Mexican girl, she sure didn't want to stay there because the supervisor, he liked her. I think it was his girlfriend or something. He'd always, she'd call back to see when I was going to ever leave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they told her, she done hurt her leg, now she's going to be gone. I know she's going to be gone this time.
Mm-hmm. So you
retired because you hurt? No, I retired because it hadn't done that. When I retired, I went up there on that, on the 8th, I believe it was on a Tuesday, something like that. And the woman sat down and said, "Buddy, said, wouldn't you rather sit at a home place out here just doing all that old hard work and half sick or tired or something all the time and many years that you've been working out there? Wouldn't you just rather for it to come to your house and you sit down and just let it come there?" And she made me think about that. But I always, everybody, when they get ready to retire from a job, it seems like they hate to just leave a job or something.
Mm-hmm.
But after she explained things to me, and I didn't think, you know, you always think you're not going to get enough money or something. But when I found out, boy, I said, "Lord, I wish I had been gone from there," because I had to, I said, a woman just got through talking to me about that, but I had fix some cellar and everything, fixing to go to work the next day. And hung my clothes up in the hall like I do all the time. So I just jump up and get ready, get everything laid out to go to work. And 11 o'clock at night, I said, about 5 minutes to 11, I had been talking to my daughter, and then I talked to 15 minutes, I think, when I started talking to him. I said, "Well, I'm getting you off the phone." And Isabel, she called. I said, "Well, I'm 5 minutes to 11. Now I got to go here to get a new, because I don't get a chance to get a new, because I cook today. When I cook one night, I cook for 2 or 3 days." And so I said, "Shoot, I'm going to go see about this burglar alarm on now and everything, and I'm going to get back here and listen at the news." And she said, "Okay, I'll see you tomorrow." And there wasn't nothing bothering me, and I just got out of bed and couldn't walk and like to kill me. Just one spot on my leg, and it's right there on the tiplets of your leg, you know, that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't walk, it's right on the, where they call the tiplet that joins to the knee.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But it's from the old fracture that I had at North America, and I can't remember nothing but it being in 1962 or something like that. I was hit on that ankle. It's still cut. You can see the cut place on it from one of them wagons, and they carried me over there and gave me some kind of tetanus shot and put some ice on it, and I think something else it gave me. I went to sleep, I believe, and it woke me up at lunchtime, after lunch or something, and place I'm saying the bone was shattered or something. They didn't tell me that. And way after the place got well enough, they had me coming over there every day for a week or two, soaking, putting in the whirlpool. Place is saying the bone was shattered, and I generally go to my own doctor after I go to theirs, whatever they want you to go to, and take the x-ray or something. I don't think they even x-rayed it. Now, them bones, you don't know where they went to.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused me to have that trouble.
Now, what had you been hit by? You had something hit you on the ankle?
A truck out there at the plant. You know how they have them old trucks, and they... You run them in there and they hook up into another one. No, it's not like a forklift. It's just like a...
Oh, they hook the place where they hook together.
It's just like these dollies you rent something kind of like those, but they have four wheels on them, you know.
Gotcha.
But they're like dollies, and they got a big old round thing that swings, you know, just swings down. But that thing, if you, if the thing hits you on your leg or something, it nearly kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing hit me on my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it. And that'd been all in many years now, and just all at once. And I got up to walk, I just, because I had danced one New Year's at New Year's, and this was, now wait a minute, let's see, it was January the 11th when I went to the hospital, because it was my birthday, because they were laughing about it. And New Year's was the first of January, always, you know, New Year's. And that, I didn't do nothing. Christmas, my daughter always, he always have his party and a gang of people and everything, youngsters and all. And that night, that New Year's night, I danced all night, and I was just dancing by myself, you know, and Charlene, she'd run out there to dance thing sometime with me, because I had learned her when she was a kid, and she was 7 years old. She danced at the Hockaday School where I worked in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So the other little girls, they'd all stand up in the corners for the white fellas and say, "Ooh, Miss Drake, you sure can dance, boy." And I don't know what was mad at me that night. And I didn't get tired. I just danced all night. Just out doing all, used to tap things, take all the tap things out, the steps out of that, put them in the disco, you know, and all that stuff. Because that was my talent all the time, was dancing. So then I said, "Mom, maybe that come from that dancing you did the other night." I said, "Gonna wait till here it is, 11th, and it's gonna wait till it's time to do that." And I done been all out to the retirement place. I dressed and went on out there that day and everything. I signed up, and I said, "Oh, it wasn't that. I knew it wouldn't come from that." So and then I went to an orthopedic down from the California hospital. And that's why they say it comes from, "Well, when was the fracture done?" Well, now, I had never left the plant, so my record's supposed to be in that hospital. So I told Kelly, which is the chairman, he's the vice chairman then, now he's the chairman, and I asked him to tell Betty, to see what day I got my ankle for. "Oh, we don't have a chart here no more. Oh, she's fitting to retire. We don't have the chart. The chart's supposed to stay there till I leave."
Mm-hmm.
And I should have got on them about that, but I don't know why I didn't. That hurt me so bad, though. A woman brought her stick over here, and then Mamie, she carried me down there. I said, "Mamie, I just have to take another one of these implants, number 3, for I don't think I can make it down there without taking another one." I ain't never had nothing hurt me so bad. And Dr. Specks, he's a staff over at California Hospital, and I'm an outpatient of him. This thing about calling me here the other day and get these moles off my neck and things, and so and they asked him about my finger right in here, what to do about it, because he'd always stick a needle in my kneecap, and it would be fine. So, I don't know, I just didn't work so much. I don't know what to say, I'm telling you.
How did you feel about retirement after you retired? Was it an adjustment?
Oh, when you retire, you don't know you're so tired. See, that's it. All the stuff coming down on you at once. Woo, you just think you're sick. So I try to tell them that, "Oh, you didn't retire now. You ought to do." I said, "Okay." When they retired, I called them up, "Girl, you know I got to rest. I just retired." I can't think about nothing now. I said, "See there? One girl couldn't walk. And she didn't go on a sick leave before she left. Well, see, I went on a disability because I was going to work till the last day of February, but I went on disability, and the secretary of the of Rockwell's secretary or something, my manager, she sent me a little yellow thing like envelope and said, fill it out by there. And they paid me for a whole year like that. And I was just wondering where that money coming from. I don't know whether they felt like they bought my leg or not, because sometimes the credit union woman always called and asked how's my leg doing. Mm-hmm. And then I was on disability too, and then I was getting my Social Security check and my retirement check.
And so, it just was like, first you just felt really tired after.
Yeah, you feel tired when you stop doing something other than, as long as I was going, I would be all right. But after I went back, after the leg kind of, he had to put a needle in that place, that particular place, till I get over to take the x-ray. Mm-hmm. That thing hurt me so, I never had nothing hurt me so bad, and just like popping your finger. That's what I said. What could that be, I wonder? I just couldn't understand that. Wasn't nothing hurting me, and I hadn't been in there cooking and wasn't thinking about nothing but just looking at the news and going to get up and be ready to go ahead and my little stuff fixed in the icebox.
Did you, make you'd stayed on the day shift?
Yeah, I never worked night.
I know that you told me that you...
But I did work through two shifts one time in Crenshaw, because they had one of these things that... What do you call this thing? I don't know, that thing made something like this whole deal here, but it's a hard thing to clean. And they just didn't trust nobody to clean it harder but me, and so they'd have to bring it over to the main plant and have it tested at the lab. And then they'd bring it back if something wrong with it, then they had to bring it back and fix it, and then they had to bring it back to me to clean. So I worked a double shift that time, all day and then that night shift.
For 2 weeks?
No, I just done it, I think, for 1 or 2 days.
Really. So did... you told me that you work at you help out over at the Senior Citizens Center here sometime, and I know you've done things with your union people since you retired, gone on trips and things.
Oh, yeah, I worked at Las Vegas and out here. Just before I went home, I went to, Reno. Mm-hmm. I never had seen it, and I wanted to see it, but boy, it was a long ways out there.
What other kinds of things do you do now?
They laugh at me because I don't do nothing but live, run over to Las Vegas all the time. And they ask me when I come back this time. I said, honey, my mind wasn't on no Las Vegas this time. I didn't have time to think about Las Vegas. I said that all my family is sick and everything, and I'm trying to hold up myself too. And I'd go over there and I'd go Thursday, Friday, and come back Saturday, something like that. If I go Friday, I'd stay till Sunday. But I could take my time, but I'd pick that time because I quit going on the weekend. It's not too good. I learned better than that. So I went over there and win $2,000, and then I'd go home and sleep all the day and had my bills with me, and I'd roll out them and lay up and look at them, and I put the little money down, and so the lady said, oh, if I know you're going to spend, go back and lose it back. I said, I don't play like that. And they all said, well, I don't see how you can bring it back. I said, yeah, I do. I said, now you say you're going to carry, because I mostly always pay my bills up mostly before I go messing around over there. But I told them that you say you're not going to spend it. I'm just going to carry me $200. I said, okay, that's what you're going to carry. I said, well, and if you lose your $200, but if you don't lose it. And every time you catch some hundreds, I say you still play out of your pocket. If you run out, it's always some money coming back in that hand that give you money to play on, like $20, $15, and all that'll come back in the trade. Well, you just play out of that. I always start with $20. I tell them, give me $20 worth of dollars, and then I start with it. And if I catch a machine, haven't been played, because the machine going to pay the company off before he pay you off. So if you catch one, ain't letting nothing come back to you. You just go let it alone and go find you another one. Mm-hmm. And you always pick out, look at your machine and see how much it's paying and all that stuff. Certain way you pull your handle and all that. I was looking at the Joker's wire on this thing every night. And every time they pull it crossways, some way fancy, as I call it, they get the devil. I said, Lord, why they sit up and don't pull that thing straight like that? Mm-hmm. So I always, my people would see that the house. I always come in and give them something. Mm-hmm. But I always win a lot, quite a bit. When I was over there with them, I won $1,300. And I went over there to senior citizens. I didn't know much about them first time. And they stand all around me, and I can't stand them back. But I said, well, that's better for them to see, because they don't believe things sometimes. You tell them. I just don't believe she won that much money. I just can't believe it. But they all done learned that now. Mm-hmm. My supervisor, all of them.
Since I was wondering that in terms of getting to know your daughter, so what kind of relationship have you had with her? It seems like a lot of her growing up here, she was with your mother, and you only get to see her when you go back.
Yeah, because I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she, when she came out here and got married, well, I see them all the time. Well, they're staying at the house. My mother didn't ever learn how to cook and things, and so she got a chance to learn that. She sure can cook, though.
Mm-hmm.
I told her, I said, well, I'd come home and wash diapers and cook their dinner and stuff. I said, now, since they cooking, I don't bother with no cooking. I tell them, I think I done forgot how to cook, I guess. And I let them cook, but I mostly cook cakes for the plant out there, for different, you know, president of the union and his wife, and the chairman and his wife, and you know, I fix one for the union, I sure was intending to get the credit union, but I never could look like get to them. So I said I was going to do that since I've been off. Just send it over to Tomcat or whatever one to them one of these days. But the pecans got so high, and I can't find them like I used to could, you know, because I'd make the German chocolate in my way, and it would feed a gang of people. I just always put a little note in there and draw how to, I'd tell them to cut the cake if they have to cut it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd send it on my silver platter, because the platter wasn't, they thought that platter, I said, that's the kind that you don't have to polish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got it for whenever I make a cake for it to go out like that.